able to make it tonight, and you plan on being here tomorrow night, go out caroling. We'll be leaving here at 5 o'clock. If something happens, you are running just a minute or two late, be sure and call us, let us know. Otherwise, we'll be gone. So be sure and be here at 5. It's supposed to be cold. Dress warm. And we'll try not to keep anybody out in the cold too much. I know I've been struggling with my throat and cough and so forth, and just have to see what I can do and what I can't do during that time. But anyway, if you'd like to come be with us. Meet here at church, 5 o'clock. Also, Saturday, any of you men that like to come at 5 o'clock over here, we get together and put the treat bags together. I won't be here, but there'll be several that will. If you'd like to come and help, it don't take long. Everybody forms assembly line, and we get those made. And so do that if you would. We'll be gone this weekend, and I appreciate Brother Eric covering for us this weekend. And Brother Rick's going to take his Sunday school class, and so we're thankful for that, and we appreciate them doing that. Do want you to continue remembering Brother Sisson as well. I talked to him, and he's doing some better today. And then all the ones we've been praying for here at the church, and some that we mentioned earlier, just remember each and every one of those if you would. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 1. Brother Eric touched on a couple of these verses here in his Sunday school class, but I kind of want to just share a thought with you. It's a simple thought tonight. I had someone ask me a while back why we as Christians celebrated Christmas when December 25th was not the day that Jesus was born. And I said, well, do you know that for a fact? Well, no, but you don't know that there was. I said, no. And I said, be honest with you, I doubt if it was. I doubt if that was the time in which he was born. But there's things that we celebrate, and we celebrate to commemorate the fact that God did send his son into the world, and we set aside a day to remember that. Now, exactly what day that fell upon, I don't know, and I can't say for sure. But there are some things that I know, and there's reasons why I think that we ought to celebrate Christmas, and one of them is because of the prophecy that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And tonight I want us to think a little bit about the prophecy of his coming. And of course we have the prophecy of his coming again. And so we're going to look at a couple of things, but let's begin reading, if you would, number 20 of chapter 1 in Matthew, talking about Joseph. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, the marvelous thing about looking at the birth of Jesus, one, is to realize the prophecies that has went in to Jesus and him being born. Now, a prophecy is to tell forth. And the Bible has prophecies, and it's more than just telling forth. It is a divine revelation given to men by Almighty God, especially to his people, so that we, his people, might know some things that are going to come to pass. And so when God gives us these prophecies, it's important for us. Now, if you think about these prophecies where God has foretold what people are going to do and what's going to take place, it is a miracle in itself. Think about this, a free moral agent, and God looks down the line hundreds and thousands of years before he's born and says this is what's going to take place when he gets born. I mean, think about the knowledge that God has in that. Now, Bible prophecies are not like a lot of these people who make predictions and even tries to make their own prophecies. Number one, they are very detailed. I mean, when God made them, like in Isaiah 45, he named names. Said what his name was going to be named 200 years before he was born. Told what he's going to do, how he's going to do it. And he was talking about Cyrus and how that Cyrus is going to enter into Babylon and how they're going to leave the gates, the brass gates open. Now picture that and think about that. Before those brass gates existed, God already told that Cyrus, before he was ever born, was going to be used as his instrument, his servant, to go in and to capture Babylon. Now that's prophecy. Now a lot of these false prophets, they make a lot of predictions. A lot of these false teachers, they misrepresent prophecy in the Bible. But when God makes a prophecy, it's very detailed. He can name names when he wants to name names. As a matter of fact, here, Isaiah, several hundred years before, had said his name would be called Emmanuel. And his name was called Emmanuel. Now, not only that, somebody, a couple of you guys, if you don't care, may want to go out there and check. Okay. Never can tell, I tell you what. One time I was preaching and Brother Don walked out. We walked out of the church. Brother Don said, "My car's gone." I said, "Are you kidding?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Where'd you park it?" He told me. I said, "Are you sure you parked it there?" He said, "Yeah." And sure enough, somebody come and stole the car while we were in church. I said, "Don't worry, they'll run out of gas." Because he never kept more than $5 of gas in his car. And most of the time, whenever he would borrow my car and give me his car, it would be sitting on the other side of E instead of on this side of E. And I'd pray that God would let me get to a service station to be able to get gas into it. Well, to make a long story short, get back a message. Sure enough, they found her down the road. She'd run out of gas. And they arrested her. And then several years later, she came to church here. And she married a guy. And she met Brother Don and told him and apologized to him for stealing his car. But anyway, she got her life right with God and all that, so that was great. Amen. And the reason I was thinking about that, I saw her just about 2 days ago and talked to her. But anyway, getting back to Matthew chapter 1. Not only does he name names in prophecy, he also gives locations. I mean, he told him Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, called the place by name. Over and over and over, God prophesied locations, exact locations. Not only that, but he also, very minute details. I mean, Psalms 22, he talked about Jesus, things he would say upon the cross, things that would happen to him while he was upon the cross. He talked about the crucifixion before there ever was crucifixions. I mean, that's how minute details that God got in his prophecies. You look at Psalms 22, look at Isaiah 53, again describing Jesus. Very detailed. And over and over and over. Also, Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. God gave Daniel the dates and times in which certain things were going to happen. And the Messiah was going to come. By the way, that's why the wise men that was over from where Daniel was prisoner at for a while and where he ruled for a while, that's why they came. They saw a star, but they came. And I'm sure that they were influenced by the writings of Daniel to know that it was about time that this Messiah, this king, was going to come, that God had prophesied. He will also give the exact order of events. When he said that there would be five world empires, he named them. There would be Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and then Rome, and then the Roman Empire would revive itself, and that's what we're waiting for right now, is a revival of the Roman Empire. And not only that, but also the influence of the Roman church and a harlot that the Bible speaks of in Revelation chapter number 17 and 18. So what we have is, we have God in very distinct details. And he tells exact order of how things will take place. And so the one wonderful thing about God's prophecies is they never have failed. Now that's what you need to remember. And not only that, God's prophets, 1,500 years, over 40 prophets in the Old Testament, they hardly knew each other, most of them, never saw each other, lived in different time spans and so forth, and yet they perfectly agree. Isn't that marvelous? That the Word of God, that we have such a Word of God, and they've separated by centuries, but yet they still agree. Not only that, the prophets of God never prophesied for personal gain or money. Oh, as a matter of fact, most of them, when they prophesied, it would cost them something to prophesy and to tell people the truth. But they would prophesy, and they would prophesy things many times that people didn't want to hear, but they had to hear it. That's why sometimes we preach and people say, well, I don't like what you preach. You got to remember, we didn't cook it. We only serve it. And so when God cooked it, if you don't like it, take it up with the cook. Don't take it up with the person serving you. It's our job to preach the word, not to alter it to make it where it's pleasing to people's ears. And by the way, that is one of the greatest signs of the church age in which we live. The word of God has been altered, and there's many churches today, when the preacher and pastor begins to preach something they don't want, they will come and they will get rid of him and ask him to leave because it's going against something that they don't want and don't want to hear preached. And they can't find any Bible for that. If it is, it's condemning them. It's not condemning the one who preached to them. Now, getting back to this, when you look at this, in the Old Testament and New Testament, but looking back at the Old Testament, all the prophecies were historically correct. All the prophecies were geographically correct. All the prophecies were medically correct. All the prophecies were scientifically correct. All the prophecies were prophetically correct. And just as God said things would happen, that's exactly what happened. And so when you look here, you need to understand that God has made many prophecies. Now, I believe you pronounce his name, and some of you may be better at this than I am. Erdosham, I believe is his name. He was a Jewish Bible scholar back in the 1800s. He was a converted Jew. And he said this. He said there was 456 passages, prophetic passages relating to the Messiah. Now, I've heard also, I've never counted all of them, but I've also heard that there was 300 particular about Jesus' coming the first time. Now, when you look at this, 700 years before Christ was born, Michael told the exact place he would be born. We touched on that a minute ago. 1,000 years, David, again, talked about the crucifixion before there was a crucifixion. 530 years, Daniel spoke about the exact date that it would take place. 400 years, Malachi said that there would be a forerunner in John the Baptist before Christ, and there was a forerunner. And so when you look at this and notice that many of the prophecies, just a few in mentioning, that Christ would come as God in the flesh in the Old Testament, and it fulfilled the New Testament, that he'd live in Egypt, that he would be sinless, perfected, have perfection. Also, that he would be betrayed by a friend. He would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Also, that he would have no bone broke. Also, they would gamble for his clothes. That he would be buried in a rich man's grave. He would resurrect from the dead. And many, many, many others has it been given. Now, I said all that to say this. When you look in the Bible, many of these have already been fulfilled that have been foretold about Jesus. But it was interesting. I looked, and the guy said this. He said, in looking at the percentage of estimation of guessing that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, it was like 1 in 300,000. Now, some of you guys that I deal with in algebra, get this number in your mind. And girls, 1 in 8 prophecies that one person could fulfill 8 prophecies would have the chance of 1 in 10 times 17 zeros. Now think about that. 17 zeros. That would be 100 a whole bunch of them. I'll get it out in a minute. I'm tongue tangled on that. But then just take 48 of the 300 prophecies. I'm going to quit on this one. 48, it would, the chance that one man could fulfill 48 prophecies was 1 in 10 times 157 zeros. And by the way, I tell people, they ask me about lottery and all that. I was down in Mississippi, and they have all these casinos. And somebody has asked me, I said, they was talking about going to a casino, want to know if I want to go. I said, how do you think they build those things? You think they build those things because everybody's big winners? And the same way with lotteries and so forth like that. It's amazing how deceived. But now think about those numbers. And so here, Jesus was foretold to be the Messiah. He would be the hope of all mankind in being the Savior of the world. Not only that, but he'd be the hope of Israel, being their king. He's also foretold to be the hope of the church. He'd be our bridegroom. The Old Testament saints, some of the Jews are still looking. They're still going to the Wailing Wall, sticking in prayer requests, praying that the Messiah would be sent. They don't even know that he's been sent. We look back. And Christmas time, what we do is we celebrate the fact of that Jesus came a little over 2,000 years ago, and God sent his only begotten Son. And so we don't have to have the exact date to do that. What we do is we celebrate the fact of God sending his Son. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, he was prophesied to be a prophet. In Hebrews chapter 2, he was prophesied to be the priest. In Zechariah 9, he would be a king that would be riding into Jerusalem. Now turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4, notice, if you would, in verse number 4. The Bible says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. So now notice this, and think about this about Jesus. Number one, somebody said, when was he born? I'll tell you when he was born. I did some research, and this verse told me when he was born. Number one, he was born in just the right, for just the right reason. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 and 5, he said, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under law, to redeem them that were under law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He was sent and he was born for just the right reason, to save his people from sins and to make a way that you and I might be saved. He is to be a Savior. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, until you was born this day, a Savior. And he shall save his people from their sins. Not only that, but he also fulfilled scriptures. And he was born to fulfill all the scriptures that was written about him. And in verse 23, he is Emmanuel, God with us. He is our hope. Now look back, if you would, in Galatians chapter 4. He not only was born for the right reason, to come and redeem us, but he was born at the right time and the right place. When God wanted him to come, he came. So Somebody said, preacher, when's he coming back again? At the right time. When the right time comes, when the fullness of time comes, God will send forth his son again. And when fullness of time came, 2,000 some years ago, I don't know the exact day and hour in which he came, but when that time came with God, he sent forth his son at the right time and the right place. Not only that, but in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, he came the right way through a virgin. He came through the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15. In other words, he was going to be born in a supernatural way. Nobody else has ever been born without having a natural father. Some people mistakes the wording of talking about Melchizedek, where he had neither father nor mother, but that was not what he was talking about. It was talking about that he was not of the lineage of Aaron, that he was another lineage, and his mother and father was unknown, and he was a select high priest by God. God appointed him high priest of Salem, just like he was going to appoint Jesus, and Jesus would not be out of the lineage of Aaron, but he would be out of the lineage of David. Now, and Judah. And by the way, when you look at this, he came just the right way when God wanted. And the Bible teaches us that when Mary knew no man, that she was able to have a child. And the Holy Ghost of God impregnated her and formed a baby inside of her. And she was not tainted with the sinful blood and nature of Adam. Amen. Now, not only that, but he also died at the right time. He was buried at the right time and the right place. And he died the right time and the right place. And he resurrected the right time and the right place. And not only that, but he also is coming again at the right time and the right place. And so we have all this that we hang on to. And so one thing that Christmas reminds me of is the prophecy. Now let me give you this. I'm going to close. Why should Christians be concerned with prophecy? Let me show you a few things real quickly, and I'll close. Look, if you would, in Deuteronomy chapter 29. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse number 29, the Bible says, the secret things belong unto who? The Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Now, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, it says this is revelation of Jesus Christ. It was given to John. In other words, it was given to him. Now, Daniel, there was some revelation given to Daniel, and he told him to seal the book up. It was not time yet to reveal some things. But when he told John to write, he told him to write the things down. And some people say, well, preacher, I don't think that we ought to, I had people tell me this, I don't think that we ought to study in Revelation. It's too dark a book. Well, you need to read verse number 3 in chapter 1. It says that you'll be blessed if you study the words of that prophecy. The prophecy is for your blessings. It's for you to know things that the world does not know. It's for you to know things that God has revealed to us. Secret things belong to God, but when he gives us those things, we are to study to be able to understand what is coming forth. Amen? Not only that, but also, look if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. You know why people are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine? Because they don't study. It's important. Notice if you would in verse number 16, chapter 3, 2 Timothy. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, means mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Why should you study? And by the way, revelation is as much a scripture as anything else. The prophecies in the Old Testament is as much scripture as anything else. So therefore, what we are to do, we are to study all scripture. And we're studying the Word of God because it helps us to mature. And so therefore, we, our children, they need to understand. You know, I didn't realize when I was growing up as a child. Some people says, well, my child didn't want to come to church. Well, this child didn't want to come to church when I was little either. I didn't have a lot of choice. Dad said, we're going to church. I said, well, I'm sick. Here, this castor oil and this Epsom salt, that'll fix you up. I believe I'll just go on church. But you know what amazing is? I didn't realize how much I was hearing, even though I didn't know I was hearing it. And when I grew up and God called me to preach, so much of that came back to me that I had heard taught years after years. And you know, I thank God that I was raised and taught some of the secrets that God has revealed to mankind. I'm glad that I'm not going to be shocked when Jesus comes back. I'm glad that I'm not shocked at how the world is. I'm glad that I'm not shocked when I see certain things happening. I used to think that I was, but then I realized I wasn't. Also, the Bible says that it's a sure prophecy in 2 Peter, in chapter 1. In other words, it's something that we can rely upon. I'm glad that we have the truth. Because I'll tell you what, there's not another place on this planet anymore that you can find truth. The Word of God is the only truth that we have. And we need to stay in that. The Bible says in Romans chapter 15 that it gives us hope. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it gives us comfort. Look, if you would, in 1 John chapter 3. And I'll close right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us it gives us patience in waiting on these things to happen. Look in 1 John chapter 3. Notice verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Why should we study prophecy? Why should it make a difference? Why should we be thrilled in looking back at all the prophecy fulfilled at Jesus' coming? Because it helps us to purify ourselves, looking for his coming. And we don't know exactly what we'll be like, but God has revealed some things to us about what our bodies will be like, what our lives will be like in heaven. But there'll be many things that we'll learn that we'll not understand down here, but we'll understand it when we get there and get our bodies. And so tonight, I just want to say this. If you're approached with the question, well, you don't know when Jesus was born. No, but he was born here. At the right time and right place. He was born for the right reason. He was born with all the right intentions. He died right. He was buried right, resurrected right, and thank God he's coming back again. Amen. The right way and right place. Amen. Let's give a song, Brother Eric, if you would. You know, I often wonder when we sing that song, I think about the book of Acts, when Paul was told that he was almost persuaded. But I wonder how many people are going to die and die in their sins. And I wonder in hell how many times they're going to think, man, I was almost persuaded, just like Felix. But yet, I didn't surrender. What a sad, sad situation. Amen.
Let's sing. Almost persuaded to believe. Almost persuaded.
Think about that. If you're standing here tonight, unprepared, not saved.